Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We'll visit with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. We'll talk about a number of things having to do with the convention business. Obviously, the head of the convention center leaves to go to Audubon Park. We'll talk about Mike Sawaya's move, where that's headed. We'll talk about the rankings of the city of New Orleans as it relates to the convention business, where we stand. A new study just came out. We'll talk about that as well, and other issues headed our way. We'll visit with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. We've got a ton to talk about, and he has a special guest, Bryce White, New Orleans Record Press. It's a company that's independently owned and operated, and it's a vinyl record manufacturing plant offering custom vinyl pressing. And we'll talk about the future of that product and that company. And just wanted kind of to open up this morning about something closer to home. A number of the provisions that have been provided are introduced into the state legislature's special session by the Landry administration is being taken up for consideration this week. In fact, some of those have already moved through the House and will be on their way to the Senate. Not a lot of debate, not a lot of discussion, which is kind of interesting as to where we land on all of these issues, and not a lot of backfilling on a whole lot of proposed list of services that will be subject to sales tax. Not a clear understanding for you as a sales taxpayer as to whether or not locals charge sales tax on some of these services and the state did not, or vice versa, the state did, the locals did not, or what the impact is right now. What does it look like and what is it going to look like as it relates to these issues? We're all trying to get the numbers to work in order to reduce corporate franchise tax, eliminate it, reduce corporate taxes from 7.5% to 4.5%, reduce individual tax rates to a 3% flat rate, renew the 4/5 cent sales tax, which is set to expire in June of 2025. And I'm not sure what the duration is going to be of that. I would hope that they had articulated that as well. But I would encourage you to look at, in fact, the Advocate posted a full list of services that they intend to tax. Part of the problem, though, is in these categories, there's all kinds of definitions of what these words actually mean and how far-reaching are they and what do they mean. So if you go to line item one in the article, it says lodging. Well, what is that? Is that hotel motels? Is that Airbnb? Is that you renting your home? Are you renting a piece of property? So what is going to actually be taxed? If you're in the city of New Orleans, you're going to pay a little bit more between state and local, about 10.1%, 10.2%. And in Jefferson, it's a little over 9%, about 9.2, I think, if my memory serves me correct, that you can add to the bill. Now, this is all to offset, you know, them being able to go to the 3% flat rate on income. And depending where you land relative to standard deductions, right, these additional taxes are kind of interesting. Just kind of wonder whether or not somebody really comes out on the plus side here or even close. Is it really expense neutral for you? Are you gaining anything? And I've yet to see any back of the envelope calculations by members of the media or otherwise or public interest groups as to how this works for an average family and what it actually means for them as well. There are some recent studies out that talk about. I got one this morning from a report called the U.S. Mobile Phone Market Size and Household Spend Report that kind of characterizes some of these expenses, what your average amount that you spend on your phone bill, because that's going to be taxed. Hasn't been taxed so thus far. So if your phone bill is, you know, $100-something dollars a month, you add that up, you're probably going to be north of $1,400. You're going to be, you know, somewhere at a pretty good number. Take 10% of that. That's how much it's going to go up in general in the city of New Orleans. Add another 10%. Parking, if you're paying $30 a day, you're paying another $3. That's another $720 a year. If you wash your car twice a month at the, you know, second tier from the top level, that's another $276 in taxes that you're paying there. Pool maintenance on an average cost of, let's say, $80, $90 a month, and I think the going rate is actually higher than that, you're going to pay another $938 annually by having to pay the sales tax. Lawn care, the same thing. You're going to be paying about another $950 annually in additional taxes. If you have a burglar alarm and you're paying for monitoring service, you could be paying as much as $331 in taxes. You know what those costs are. Figure it out and figure it out. Just figure out what your tax rate is and start to do this back of envelope calculation as to whether or not this is going to actually make sense for you. The big number in my mind is, I don't know about you, but my cable TV bill is about $340 a month, right? So that's $4,000 a year. You know, and you multiply that by, I think it's 9.2% is what we're paying in sales tax here. And you know, you get to a big number, this thing is acting up on me, pretty fast. And you know, so let's see, that this thing's not going right. All right, so just if you just took 10% of that, you're talking about another $400 in tax on cable TV. All of those streaming services that you have are going to be taxed at the sales tax rate of your jurisdiction. If you rent storage space, it's going to be taxed. You get a tattoo, taxed. Go to a travel agent, tax. Towing, wrecking services, tax. Going to a tanning booth, you'll be taxed. That could probably break Donald Trump. Home repairs. Car repairs, boat repairs, home appliance repairs, furniture repair, and electronic repairs hadn't been taxed. Now it'll be taxed. Locksmiths, tax. Event planning and catering will be taxed. Personal training. If you go to the workout facility, you hire a personal trainer. That's taxed. You groom your pet. That's now going to be taxed. Service of legal process now in this state is going to be subject to a sales tax as well. If you have litigation. Rideshare, Uber, taxis, transportation, taxed. Interior decorating, taxed. Weight loss program, that's going to be taxed. If you're out there on a dating service, you're going to be paying taxes for that. DoorDash, Instacart, Amazon, Flex, all of those delivery services will be taxed. If you're storing a boat somewhere, that's going to get taxed. If you join AAA, that's going to be taxed. If you have a locker at a club or something, that will be taxed. Shoe shines taxed. Timeshares taxed. Dry cleaning taxed. Printing will be taxed. And then ticket sales for entertainment and recreational events and amusement parks will be taxed. Now, when you think about that, that's pretty broad, right? Soccer tax, NOLA Gold tax, high school events where you're paying to get in, baseball, football, you know, soccer, all taxed. When you think about all of the sports teams, Delgado, Southern, Dillard, Xavier, UNO, Tulane, LSU, all of the activities that they charge you to get in to see tennis, this, that, or otherwise, that's now going to be subject to the tax. Pelicans, Saints, taxed. So all of these things are pretty broad, and you start to add up the cost of this ticket, the cost of your season tickets, and you know the amount of money that you're paying there, and then compare that to what that flat rate income tax number is going to be for you, and with the deductions, because there are some fairly generous deductions there that hopefully make it expenditure neutral for you. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I've done a couple of back-of-the-envelope calculations, and at certain income levels, it doesn't work. And the reality is these prices of goods for services are more likely to go up than your wage. So just keep that in mind as well. That's the reason we're upside down right now. That was one of the predominant reasons that Trump got elected, because people's wages were not growing at a fast enough rate in order to keep up with inflation. Individual goods were costing more, and the amount of their income was not going up. When you take 50 or so items that historically have not been taxed that now are going to be taxed, you're going to be beginning to see what is going to happen. Now, one of the other impacts that this has, and one of the dangers of this, is the ceiling. And this is how I refer to the ceiling. The capacity of the local business owner to charge a certain amount for services, right? So let's say that it's $100. And he feels like, he or she feels like, that's the number, the optimal number that works for me. Is that, let's say it's a business that you are accustomed to getting a tip. Well, now you're adding a 10% sales tax. So now that item is $110. What do you think happens? Less likely to be able to go up on the cost of that service, right? If need be. Less likely to be able to pay a tip on those services, because you're coming out of pocket with more money. So, you know, the realities here are, you know, the business owner themselves, you've lowered the ceiling for them and a capacity of where they can have their price point moving into the future, as a lot of the goods for service that they have, the prices are going up. The only way that they can overcome that is to raise their price. But when you have historically a taxable event that was not taxed, and now it is, you've lowered the ceiling. Now, what's going to be interesting in all of this process is pay very close attention to who gets exempted out of this broad list and how they end up defining these categories, right? And you're going to find out who's got the political juice. Because I doubt very seriously that ultimately this is going to be, all businesses will be treated the same. They won't. Some will get out, some will be in. And that's the tough questions that are going to have to be asked of these legislators that decided who the winners and losers are here. A lot of people that I talk to, they have lobbying services on here that's to be taxed. A lot of people are saying, I'll believe it when I see it. That on the last day of this session, they still are taxing lobbying services. It'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting about a number of other these situations, too. So, for example, if you go to and you buy a new car, right? If you're like me, you buy the warranty, right? You want that extended warranty. If you buy the car, you want the extended warranty. You think it's a good deal, covers a lot. You trust your dealership that you're dealing with. You've been dealing with that individual all your adult life. You know, no big issues. You buy the warranty. But if you bought the warranty today, you don't pay a sales tax. But if you buy the warranty next year, you will. Now, warranties can be somewhat of a big ticket item, right? Because they're covering multiple years, depending on the breadth and depth of the services that are the maintenance of the equipment. Some have much better warranty offerings than others. A lot of people are going to fall out. May not buy the warranty. May have to take the risk because of another 10% cost on top of that, right? And as I said before, the warranty amounts have been going up. They continue to go up. Why? Because parts cost more, labor costs more, things cost more. And that 10%, that number is getting larger every year, right? But you still might be making just $100,000. But you have a 3% flat tax rate, right? But it may not be going anywhere. Unless your salary is going up commensurately, you may be okay in the first year. You may be okay in the second. But in the third and fourth, you could potentially be upside down. And the cost of these goods sold and the tax rate on top historically is going to outpace what you're making. And when you look at this broad-based approach, and look, I applaud the administration for trying to work this out. It is one of the most complex things to do. There is no doubt about it. Can it be done? Yeah, but can it be done in 3 weeks or 2 weeks? I don't think so. Already they've run into some headwinds as it relates to inventory taxes. I think in Jefferson Parish, if my memory serves me correct, you know, I was the CFO, so I monitored all of that. We were probably somewhere between $30 and $40 million, right, that we collected on our behalf of inventory taxes. So let's just say it was $40 million. And you divide that by 4.75, I think, is what our portion of the tax rate is. They have to have $84.2 million in increased gross sales to be taxed, just to cover that one thing that they want to take away. Now, they're taking away prescription drugs as well. Sales taxes are collected here on prescription drugs. That's a number that's probably very similar to the inventory tax number, if my memory serves me correct. So then you're having to create an additional tax base of $150 to $160 million in gross sales. And you have a lot of different services here that historically have never paid a sales tax. So to bring these individuals into compliance is going to be real difficult. Take lawn care for one. I mean, how do you do that? A lot of these people are on a cash basis. Some take credit cards, some don't, some do. You don't really know how many clients they have. There's not a consistency, right? You might get your grass cut once a week for 5 months out of the year during the warmer months and every other week for the remaining 7 months. Things change there. And if you're not domiciled in the parish where you're performing these services, you're liable never to get picked up in an audit. And the reason I point all of this out is that your local government is the single most important government to you in being able to maintain the services, the infrastructure, and otherwise. And if they don't have those dollars necessary and they don't appropriately execute on spending the dollars in an efficient way and providing the services and the work to be done, you're New Orleans, if that's what you want to be. That's been the big challenge. I hate to say it that way, but that's the reality. I've said it to every council member that's ever come on this show. Lack of execution, a lot of times not about the money, but about the lack of execution. But moving forward, there has to be, this process has to be sacrosanct to make sure that your local government continues to be adequately funded. If not, and we're not going to know in the short term, and I'll throw this out to legislators to think long and hard about this. As a former tax collector, when we go through the maturation process of collecting, bringing people into compliance, understanding the sourcing of where we are going to say these transactions actually are accounted for, what parish, because of the complexity of some of these business transactions, it very much influences how much local government will be able to collect. You know when we're going to have some of the first iteration of data? Right before every one of you legislators are running for re-election. Yeah, remember, you heard it here first. And guess what? If local government's upside down and they start talking about having to have millage increases and things of that nature because they just don't have the dollars necessary to fulfill, to meet the expectations of the taxpaying public, those things are going to come to the forefront on the eve of your election. And I can't wait to hear the dialogue of how we're going to explain this away. Because in some sense, this almost feels like the Nancy Pelosi approach. We'll know more and better about this bill after we pass it. It's a wasted exercise to really debate it on the front end. Gain a better understanding of how local government is financed, why some of the things that are being proposed might make sense in theory, but in operation provide a lot of challenges that we're not going to be able to overcome, and local taxpayers are going to suffer. Because my sense is that they're not going to have the dollars necessary. I've talked to a lot of people. One of the sad realities, I hadn't talked to one yet that's been able to connect the dots. That's scary. And it should be scary for you too.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. Got a lot of questions about, is this going to be taxed? How about hair salons? Are they taxed? Nails taxed? I don't know. There are a lot of definitional questions here as it relates to some of these words that identify a very broad set of business services that are out there. So I don't necessarily know, and it's going to be interesting to see how they ultimately define these things, what's in, what's out. So for example, waste collection and disposal. So that's interesting. I mean, is that a private contract that a small business has with waste disposal that they have to pay a sales tax on that service? Does that also include the government contract of garbage services that are picked up by government? Are we paying, going to pay a sales tax on that? I don't know. And it says here cable TV, satellite TV, and radio. What does that mean? How do you go about taxing those? That, you know, cable TV is easy, satellite's easy, radio not so much. I'm not sure how they go about doing that. So there are a lot of unanswered questions here. I could tell you, as a local tax collector, I wouldn't like this list, because the nature of the business operations of many of these businesses are really hard to be chasing after to go collect the tax. Remember, sales taxes is an honor system. You rely on the business to collect the tax as a fiduciary on behalf of government. They keep it segregated, and every month they issue a report and they forward that amount of money on gross sales to the tax collector. Got a lot of people saying there should be a sales tax on campaign contributions. That's a thought. Legalize prostitution. Well, it's not legal here. But is it a dating service? How does that work? How does that get taxed? Right? So there are a lot of questions about this, and a lot of folks saying, well, you know, I'd much rather pay tax on some of these luxury items. I don't know. You know, you hire somebody to pressure wash your house. Is that a luxury item, or is that just maintenance of the most important and largest asset that you're ever going to make it for most people, right? You know, the interesting thing here, as a homeowner, you don't get to deduct that. If you were a business individual, you get to deduct that, right? You can write that off. Not to the fullest extent, but you can write it off. Of maintenance of a physical asset owned by the business. Now, it's every bit as important to you that you have your home. Maybe you have an office there. It's the same thing with cars, right? I mean, you know, businesses that own cars, they write them off. They're able to depreciate the vehicle. In this state, they have some very aggressive accelerated depreciation schedules. But as a W-2 employee, that car is every bit as important to you, utilizing to assist in whatever it is that you do at work, and you know what you get for the most part? Nada. Window cleaning, house cleaning, home rehab, put new floor, carpet, cabinet, counter installation, gonna be a sales tax. Handyman services, sales tax on that, right? So all the property maintenance that you're doing on your home, pool maintenance, sales tax. I added up my pool maintenance. The sales tax alone annually is going to be about $938.40. a little bit more for lawn care and landscaping. So just those two line items alone, I'm paying about $1,900 in additional sales taxes on those two items alone annually. If you have a personal trainer, you're going to pay. And look, this is part of the difficulty. This is not meant as a criticism. This just is really meant as education. Don't sit idly by and not look at this. I really would suggest that you look at this big time. And you look at it really closely. And like I said, it's going to be interesting, you know, the devil's in the details. Because the way this is written up right now, everybody's included. It's going to be interesting to see who's exempted out of this bill. Right? Who's going to get out of this bill? What activities are going to get out of this bill? Because there are a lot of people that are really upset about the concept of some of these categories being taxed and whether or not they're able to maintain this list. It's already happening with inventory taxes. They've modified the provisions of an opt-in, opt-out. There was an article in the paper about it today. And, you know, some of the local government folks are asking, well, who would opt out for a one-time payment? If I get $5 million or $10 million a year and you're going to give me $15 million to opt out at the end of 3 years, I would be getting this money in perpetuity. So why would I want to opt out? That would not make good fiscal sense. My constituents would look at me like I'm a two-headed Gila monster if I made that decision. And appropriately so. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because obviously they inventory tax has always been a thorn in businesses' side. They don't like it. And any number of Republican administrations going back to Romer tried to eliminate these types of taxes and have never been successful. Bobby Jindal made a huge run at that tax and just was never able to pull it out. I was on the committee that looked at it, and that's why a lot of this, it just reminds me of the same debates that we had before that we haven't been able to work out one way or the other here. So it's going to be interesting to see where this ultimately plays out. Look, I applaud the effort. Would I like to have no income tax, state income tax? You can bet your last dollar. I would love that to happen. But I want to make sure that, because I don't even think folks in my age category, because if you're over 65, if I think what happens is you get some additional exemptions, and so it's a little it widens the chasm as it relates to what you would be paying on sales taxes, and so you may come out on top. But if you're under that age and you're making somewhere between 75 to 100 grand or somewhere in that area, and you start looking at some of these costs that most people have, especially some homeowners in that income category, it's going to be close. And you might be up top this year, but I'm not so sure you're going to be up top in 3 or 4 years. And that's my big concern, because that's the vast majority of people in the state of Louisiana. That is the heartthrob of the constituency, the working folks in this state. And if they get upside down, that is not a good thing. Because part of the argument, and I get it, other states have had some success and they've expanded their tax base and their businesses did move there. Of course, they had a lot of other resources and a lot of other things that were working in their favor, some that you can, some that you cannot quantify. So it's not a true apples to apples. But basically, I'm not a gambler, so I don't bet on the come. Right. And a lot of this is a hope and a prayer that the economic base is going to be larger, enlarged, greater, thereby creating more taxes, and this will all work out in the wash. It's a risky bet, quite frankly, because if that doesn't happen, what is going to be the appetite to retreat off of this? I don't know. I'm not sure. And I'm not sure that anybody else is sure. So it's going to be interesting to see. I hope that some of the legislators, and I'm not saying trying to kill the bill, have a more robust debate, a lot of transparency. A lot of folks who are afraid to go to the mic and talk, who know a lot of things. I would encourage all of them, and I hope the governor does too. Bring it on. Let's put it out on a table. Let's get it resolved. Because I don't think it works in anybody's best interest if this fails. At all. And actually, if it does, we're going to have to work three times as hard just to get back to where we started from. And again, not as a scare tactic, but when we know from a numbers perspective who's on first, what's on second, it's going to be on the eve of the next election cycle for legislators. And by then, the numbers will start to pan out. And that is going to be a very interesting dialogue, in my view. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're up. What say you?
I think what you said earlier, Newell, with the Louisiana sales tax and the people that could get subjected to it, not going to be just like with probably more than just the Trump administration, but he's like the kingpin in this thing, where his tariff, they already have lobbying companies getting into the game to these big companies are lobbying to donations to Trump's campaigns to get exempt from these tariffs. They're going to pick and choose who's going to be subject to these tariffs. It's the same thing. And like I said to you yesterday, it's all about greed. And I sent you the definition of greed, and it means that you want more of something that you really don't need. Well, everybody wants more money. They're never going to say they have enough. And Trump's going to line his pockets, and somehow, I guarantee you, Landry's figuring out a way how this is going to benefit his companies.
Yeah, I don't know that to be true, and I don't know what companies that he has, but these are a little different than tariffs. I mean, tariffs in many cases are legitimately imposed for a defensive posture as it relates to trade balance between two countries. So they have some characteristics that are vastly different than a tax reformation as being proposed by the Landry administration. And again, my comments are not meant to be criticism. This is a really, really difficult thing to connect the dots and figure out because what happens is local government, state government, their interests from a tax collection standpoint don't align. The manner in which the revenue comes in. The state has a lot more revenue buckets than local government. So they're almost in competition, right? And then you take that with the business, the taxes business pays as opposed to individuals, homeowners. And when you're talking about sales tax, that burden is largely on those individuals because what is not a taxable transaction is a sale for resale, which is what you see a lot of in the business world. So that's why the winners and losers and who picks them here is going to be really, really interesting to see how this works out. And typically, it will be that homeowner W-2 employee that it is really going to be right there, fine line between whether or not this is going to be a benefit or not. I know they're moving a lot of parts around, and in all fairness to the governor, I asked him the other day, does it really matter what's in and what's out just as long as the goals are met as what you're trying to reach? And he was blatantly honest. He said, I don't care what's in that jambalaya. As long as we get to that final number where we have to be, however that they are able to work that out is fine by him. But it's moving pretty quick, and I just don't get the sense that there's a lot of debate going on about much of any of this. Chuck, thank you for the call. We will be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc., as well as Bryce White from New Orleans Record Press. And in the noon hour, Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. A lot coming your way. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.